Welcome to the podcast of MotorWeek, television's original automotive magazine. MotorWeek is made possible by RockAuto.com. Here's your host, John Davis.
And welcome, everyone, to MotorWeek podcast number 54. And joining me today in Studio C, is Brian Robinson, our road test producer and two-wheel and reporter. Thanks for joining us, Brian.
Oh, I'm happy to be here, John.
Speak up right into the microphone. And over on the other side of the table, our over-the-edge reporter, Stephen Chepnick.
Hello.
Okay, guys. We're going to talk about a toned-down Acura TL. The topless Chevrolet Camaro convertible, a hybrid, joins the Volkswagen Touareg lineup. And, Stephen, you're going to talk about a very special custom auto show ride from Lexus. So let's start with Acura TL, the car that really, when you trace its lineage back, is the one that started Acura and has continued to be their top seller. There is a facelift out on it. We just had a chance to see it ourselves. Okay, what's the reaction? One of our favorite luxury sports sedans of all time. We've constantly praised the TL for the fact that it was really the first non-European front-wheel drive car that sort of got into the game that you could compare it to a BMW or an Audi. They've maintained this over the years. It's normally always been a technology flagship for Acura. But we've not been happy with the latest ones for a couple of reasons. What have they done to fix it?
Well, as you mentioned, the big thing was the styling. The last generation, well, current generation before the restyle, had the big, huge flying shield in the front end. And a lot
just
of people
awful.
Were offended by it.
Offended? Really?
Well, some people were, I guess. Well, I don't know. Everyone ugly. Complained about it. But
looked like, looked like, a shield or teeth or something.
It looked out of place on a luxury car, that's for sure. And they addressed that. It's still somewhat there, but they've toned it down a little bit.
We've been told it's going away, too. So this is like it's easy exit.
Other than that, the big news is a new 6-speed transmission, which previously it only had a 5-speed. So fuel economy is up to 20-city, 29 highway. They upgraded the nav system, some electronic things. Other than that, it's pretty much the same TL, like you said, that we like a lot.
It's a facelift.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think, in the transmission, which helps fuel economy, it's a big deal. But I think of any brand, you kind of hinted at that as well, Acura really nails the mix of luxury technology. You don't feel too pretentious in it, but it's got all the technology that everyone has, all the other luxury brands have, if not more. And it's definitely a fun car to drive.
And they also make it very simple to buy. Basically, you get one or two options. There isn't much to choose from. It's usually a technology package, which is navigation. But you don't, if you buy the quote-unquote base car, you're getting a great car.
And you can get all-wheel drive as well.
Yeah, so they've managed to hit all the corners. I think it'll continue to be a winner for them. But fortunately now it's going to be one that looks a little bit better.
Yeah, I think Acura's / Honda's technology
squeaky chair. Sorry, Stephen.
No.
Start again.
No, I think the technology that they've had, like some of the infotainment additions that they've put into all their cars, just especially recently in their new lines, have just really stepped it up.
Yeah, the weather and sports scores, you get all that up there.
It's pretty cool if you want to, if you're on the road, you want to, and that was exactly the sports that I was interested in. And it's, it's pretty neat. You actually can tell that.
Well, let's talk about that a second. From the aspect of we've often been critical of a lot of these electronic interfaces in the cars as being distracting. But somehow Acuras have managed not to be as distracting as others. Why? Anybody have an idea why that is?
I think it's the placement of where they have it in the car. It's not like some of the other ones where it's way off to the side where, some of the information or, in the middle where you have to actually look down. It's in a good spot.
And they haven't overdone it as far as features.
No, not at all.
I think it's about design. You need to be able to find whatever you need within a click or two or a button push or two. Mm-hmm. You don't need to scroll through menus forever. And their interface is very good. You go right to settings, info, weather, and boom, it's there.
Now, a car that we've seen for a long time, seen concepts of, you know, the rumors were about it, it's coming, it's finally here. The Chevrolet Camaro convertible, the new Camaro convertible.
Much like the Camaro itself, we heard about that for years.
Oh my gosh, so much so that it seemed anticlimactic. Fortunately, it wasn't. But here's a car that is great looking. Let's face it, it's just gorgeous with the top down. But did they give up anything for that? We've got one into the shop. You've had a lot of time in it, Brian. What do you think?
I have. And they make a big deal about how they maintain the structural rigidity of it. They added some bracing, but the suspension is the same as the coupe. They didn't, mm-hmm. A lot of times they'll have to tweak suspension to make up for all the...
Soften it up.
Yeah, but they did not do that. And fortunately, we got an SS V8 with a manual transmission, which is very odd. Usually whenever you get a pony car convertible, it's always V6 automatic, which is, I guess, mostly what they sell. But
yeah,
the fact that we got the V8 with the 6-speed manual is awesome. It's fast, as you mentioned. It's very solid. It handles, I would say, just like the coupe. I mean, you can feel a little bit more weight there, but it's not bad at all.
You know, it rides really nice. Yeah. I mean, I had forgotten how well the suspension has been tuned. But even with the top down and the lack of structure, I found the ride extremely pleasant, not soft by any stretch. But enough so that my wife, Cheryl, basically commented on how smooth the car.
Wow.
It felt, dare I say, more European than it did Detroit, as far as at least based on past convertibles.
I think just it's a fun car to drive.
Forget
it. It's just you get in it and everything, you know, it all just you turn it on and you hear it. It's just an amazing sound. And then you drive it and it's fun.
Yeah, it's not a quiet car.
No. But I was driving the other day on the highway and another Camaro passed me, yellow, obviously not a convertible. And the driver literally stuck his head out of the window and looked at the car. You know, it's a great car to look at, but you know, it was almost a new Camaro itself that he was driving. Yeah. And he was
already envious.
But it's just, it's such an awesome car.
They did a couple of really smart things and spent some money besides the body structure. They basically said, look, we're not going to make this your normal hack job of a convertible. They took the same people that do the roof for the Corvette and had them do the top. So you've got just one handle instead of two. And it uses the Corvette style scissors movement when the top lowers. So you end up with a very low stack. And then they gave you this kind of semi-hard tonneau cover. So when the top's down, the car looks almost straight from front to back, again, like a hardtop convertible normally looks from Europe.
I would say the overall design of the top is better than the Mustang.
Mm-hmm. It's a canvas top. I think Mustang comes with a vinyl top standard.
But it is $2,000 more than a Mustang convertible.
So you're paying for it.
But bonus, I mentioned this earlier, the visibility is no worse than the coupe because the coupe is pretty atrocious to begin with.
So I guess in that aspect, most convertibles are always complaining about you can't see what's coming down the side. Okay, let's move on to a very controversial vehicle around our office, the Volkswagen Touareg Hybrid. Now, this is Volkswagen's first hybrid, and they've chosen one of their least efficient platforms to do it on, so that makes some sense. But at $60,000+, you know, does anybody think it's worth it?
Particularly not when you can get the diesel for $10,000 less and gets better fuel
better
economy.
Fuel economy.
But you know, as you mentioned, it's their entry into the hybrid realm. So, you know, I imagine it'll trickle down to cheaper and more efficient models. The Touareg itself is all new for 11. It's the first redesign. They had a refresh a few years back, but this is the second gen of the Touareg.
I liked it a lot better.
It really didn't look that different. It still has the same look to it, which is a good thing. I thought it was one of the better looking midsize SUVs out there. And of course, it was designed from the beginning with Porsche. It's a great handling vehicle for the size.
Yeah, it is.
Interior is very nice.
I thought it was much more user-friendly than the first generation.
Everything's very simple, just a well-designed, very classy, more so than flashy, and still got all the electronical off-road wizardry from the Porsche Cayenne.
Stephen, what are you? Are you a diesel or a hybrid fan? Would you pick either one or too price sensitive or what?
Well, I am not a hybrid fan at all. I've never been, even with the Prius. It's just for some reason, even with the gas.
Is it just too complex for you?
No, I just think it's almost they're forcing it. That, to me, at least, that's it. Just seems like every time something comes out, it never gets what they say it does, and you know, you can get, you know, other models that are similar with not maybe better, but close
make
to
more financial
make more
sense.
Much more financial sense. And I think it is their first, you know, foray into this, but
I think the European attitude from you hear from Volkswagen, Mercedes, BMW is that they want to have all of the technologies under their belt so that in the future they'll be able to design a car for every market and every need. So they recognize, I think, that their first hybrids may not be as advanced as a Toyota hybrid, but on the other hand, they are developing the technology.
Yeah, it's like a parallel system, I guess, similar to like Hondas and GMs, where you have very limited use of electric only. It's mainly just an assist with the engine.
But speaking of hybrids, and now that you've made your disdain for them well known, Stephen, you just basically got about as up close and personal with a new hybrid from Lexus. It's possible. Let me set the stage. New York Auto Show, one of the concept show cars there from Lexus, was a specially done CT200H, which is their new five-door hatchback compact.
Darker shade of green.
And darker shade of green.
Darker,
when
side,
that
of
was.
Green,
darker side of green.
Darker,
yeah.
Darker.
Tell
side.
Us about the car.
This car originally was just a stock CT200, you know, Prius engine, 1.8, you know, four. And Fox Marketing, the team behind that,
from up in Pennsylvania
on the East Coast, which is kind of neat. They did what all the West Coasters do with the redesign and custom build this car, and they put a supercharger on it that gets about 300 horsepower.
Nice. And still gets decent fuel economy.
I think one of the more noticeable things is the overall color of the engine. Brian Fox, who's in charge of Fox Marketing, they painted the engine.
The same color as the
cinnamon,
dark shade of what's it called?
A cinnamon quartz, which is like a
doesn't
candy,
tell me anything. Does that sound like green
red
to you?
It's a candy red with a green hue.
I knew there was green in there somewhere.
Yeah, see, he tried to put every kind of color in there.
Now, but you were responsible for part of the paint, right?
Part of the paint.
He actually let you paint the car.
He wasn't too happy about that, but he let me get in there.
He's a good sport.
And they actually had to go back and
repaint
it.
To cover up your hybrids.
And you'll never quit your day job. Definitely
don't.
It's not a day job that maybe I can quit this. But the one thing that stands out on the interior, she put some LED lights in there with the Lexus logo.
Uh-huh.
And the wheels, he put some Toyo T1R tires on
good-looking wheels.
Really nice looking wheels.
Did he do this for Lexus?
It was a Lexus
project.
Lexus gave the car to him to basically do what he wanted to. And he definitely did what he wanted to. And it
really was a nice-looking car.
It was a very nice-looking car.
Okay, let's move on now to our lightning round. This is where we have 2 minutes to talk about something currently in the automotive news, and here we go. And at the end of that 2 minutes, Michelle Parker, our producer, will do her thing and ring the bell.
Let me guess, it'll have something about fuel prices.
Fuel prices?
No.
No, not today.
Guessing.
We're going to talk about other kinds of money. Right. Chrysler recently reported its first profit since filing for bankruptcy. I think it was $118 million. GM has had a string of profitable quarters, and Ford has 8 consecutive profitable quarters. What do you think is the main reason for this turnaround in the auto industry?
Well, I'm not quite the analytical expert that you are of the automotive industry, but I'll say that sales in general are up for a lot of people. It's part of it. But it's all about product, building stuff that people want. I mean, especially Chrysler, they got some great stuff out there. Ford's really got some great stuff. GM, I mean, to me, that's if you build a car that people want, they'll buy it.
It is all about product, I think.
Yeah, wow, I got it.
Yeah.
Just like that?
Well, I think you did. See that?
No, I think that's true. We opened this up to our Facebook fans and our social media on Twitter as well. And that was basically the response is, you know, all – all these companies are putting out better products. It's just quality for a less expensive price. You have your, quote, cheaper cars, but your cheaper cars aren't cheap anymore. They're just inexpensive.
Right.
And I think people are looking for that. They're looking to spend less money and get more, and that's what the big three have really done in recent months.
I will say that the product of the bankruptcy that has helped at least Chrysler and GM and has had influence on Ford was they were able to get rid of a lot of their overhead through putting off the health insurance towards the unions. And, of course, they unfortunately laid off an awful lot of people, so they've lowered their cost. So the industry can actually make money now at 11 and 12 million vehicles a year versus 16 and 17 at the height of, before the recession, when they weren't making money. So they've obviously, that's helped. But even if you have lower costs, you still got to build cars that people want. And obviously, we all agree that that has happened. And I think that pretty much ends up the 2 months.
The bell. Made it.
That was a good one. We got that one pretty good. All right, let's now move on to our Motorweek mailbag. If you get picked for a question to ask on one of our podcasts, you get a Motorweek T-shirt. And the question comes from Joni in Florida. Quote, I'm considering buying a new car for my 18-year-old daughter. I want something that is safe and reliable. She, of course, wants something with style and loaded with technology. Any recommendations for under $18,000? That's a tall order for $18,000. But what would you suggest, Brian? Anything?
That is a tall order. So I would say, don't rule out certified used cars. You get something
absolutely
3 years old, 40,000 miles, something like that. It's going to be just like a brand new car, pretty much. So something like a Corolla, Civic, any of those.
Make sure it's got the requisite side impact and airbags, and of course, you'll
almost
have
anything
airbags.
You buy now is safer than anything was on the road 10 years ago.
Absolutely.
So, as far if you definitely want to buy new, just a couple that come to mind: Scion TC, Beetle, and definitely as far as style, the new Fiat 500. I mean, that starts at like 16,
right.
I believe, and that's pretty much the most, style intensive vehicle out there right now.
Steven.
We had a Honda fit in about a year ago, and it's just pushing that 17, 18 range. I'm a huge fan of the Honda fit. And I think you could probably push down an Elantra or an Accent, most definitely.
I would say the Elantra, the new Elantra, is so stylish. And then it gives her a place to put a couple of friends in the backseat without any problems, which mother may not be happy with.
I think those three, I think, are good if they want new cars. I mean, they're really good.
I would strongly recommend taking a look at the current Honda Civic, because the new Civic is coming out, and a Civic Coupe. Now once the new one's announced, selling the old ones is sometimes more difficult. That's a very good looking car for the price. Okay, I think that pretty much wraps up our Motorweek podcast number 54. I want to thank in our studio Brian Robinson and Stephen Shupnick, and I want to also thank our audio engineer, Jim Bigwood, for making sure we come through loud and clear. Our podcast creator, Bob Mixter. We got to get Bob on the show one of these days.
Oh,
get him from out of the shadows. And also our producer extraordinaire, Michelle Parker. And one more bell, Michelle. Thank you very much. Thank you all for listening to our podcast. Thanks also for rockauto.com for making our podcast popular. Be sure to catch full episodes of Motor Week on both public television and also on Discovery's HD Theater. Until next time, I'm John Davis.
Motor Week.
Thanks for being with us here on Motor Week.
Magazine. Motor Week is made possible by rockauto.com. For additional information on podcasts, videos, and showtimes, visit our website at motorweek.org. And watch Motorweek, television's longest-running automotive series, each week on your local PBS station.